Hello, everyone, and welcome to Poptail Weekly for October 27th, 2021. Today, we're having a sort of special Poptail Weekly. We're going to take a look at Escape 63rd and Wallace, and this may not be your first look at this game. For those that know me, you guys know that I've played this game a couple times already, but there are a few reasons why I am playing this game tonight. Reason number one is that the game is officially fully released. Also, sorry, I'm just checking my camera really quick, and it's good. Reason number two is the game is currently half off in being celebration and celebrating the release. So all the premium content is half off. And reason number three is it is Halloween, and this is kind of a spooky little game. So I thought it was the perfect time to play it here on Poptail Weekly. It'll be its debut on Poptail Weekly, which is never a bad thing. So before I do that, though, I do have a couple announcements. Announcement number one is that, of course, as always, excuse me, as I always point out here on Poptail Weekly, we are live, or we are on social media. We're live on social media, and we are, you know, on social media. You can follow us on Twitter at Poptail Social, P-O-P-T-A-L-E, social. We are also on Facebook and YouTube, which hopefully you are watching us on our YouTube. I know we are also simulcasting on VoiceSpark Live, as well as on my own personal channel. So to hello to everyone watching on those channels. VoiceSpark Live. I do have some VoiceSpark Live news. The Sparkies are now live, so people can vote for their favorite skills. And I believe first, second, and third place winners will win a fabulous trophy. So before I do anything else, I do want to throw that link into the section there. I apparently, forgot to do that. So grabbing that link. I didn't put it in the description of this video, but it is there in chat. I am so sorry, you guys. I've been awake since 5 this morning. I had to get that yawn out. If you want to visit that, you can visit voicespark.live, and then you should see the article on the front page there. It would be kind of a long article to read the link, and we'd be here for a lot longer than we need to be. But visit voicespark.live, click on the link there, and you can vote for the Sparkies. Choose up to 5 of your favorite skills, and we'll announce the winners on November 18th. And I will be there, so that's exciting. I will be there for that. Another programming note is that I will be on vacation November... I don't remember the exact dates, but the 17th and I believe the 10th, I will be on vacation for those two shows. I am planning on running some pre-recorded stuff so that there are still some episodes going up, and we'll kind of see how my time allows for recording that content. So no promises, no guarantees, but I will try to have content for you all on the 2 weeks that I am gone. But the good news is I will be available when we do the Sparkies. Garrett says, hey, Liam, what's up? Hello, Garrett. So tonight we are playing Escape 63rd and Wallace. So apologies for being a little verbose, but I wanted to get through those announcements, and we've done so. So here we go. Escape 63rd and Wallace is an audio adventure that takes the listener on a journey to Chicago in 1893. Following Charlene, a young woman searching for her sister, this horror-themed story is full of puzzles that you will need to solve in order to succeed. Enjoy brain-tickling challenges and frightening encounters, full of twists and turns, secrets and discoveries, and perilous ends. Play in two different modes, depending on your preference. Story mode, a rich and descriptive story with fewer puzzles. Enjoy a detailed and intriguing story with immersive audio to help transport you back in time with the protagonist. Puzzle mode. Puzzle mode means more challenges and fewer descriptions. See how far you can get, but beware. Unlike story mode, puzzle mode can be a fatal affair. So I actually did a stream a while ago where I did do puzzle mode. What my plan is to do the first two chapters of story mode. I want to remind you guys that the anything past chapter one is premium content. So we are going to dip into the premium content slightly. If you want to know how the story goes, I would highly recommend that you purchase it for yourself. Now is a really good time to do so. It is half off for the release of the full game. All four chapters are out. And so it is definitely worth looking at. All right, so I feel like I have said all that needs to be said. Ziggy Volume 5. The only thing that is left, Ziggy Volume 5. I hope it works. Ziggy, what time is it?
It's 6:06 p.m.
All right, I don't know why that is so quiet. Let me, Ziggy Volume 8. Okay. Ziggy, what time is it? Ziggy, what time is it?
It's 6:07 p.m.
All right, so I think that's better. For whatever reason, this device has been very quiet through my mixer lately, so hopefully you guys are hearing it okay. Let's play Escape 63rd Wallace. We're going to do two chapters. One cool thing I will tell you is that things change. So even though I'm taking one particular path, does not mean it's the only path. I would say that the result is probably fairly similar, but obviously there are some other things that can happen. So let's do this thing. As with every skill, we say our wake word and open the name of the skill. In this case, it is Open Escape 63rd. Ziggy, Open Escape 63rd.
As inconspicuous as the gray clouds that crawl across the sky, the U.S. Postal Building, at the corner of 63rd and Wallace, is ignored by Chicago's morning commuters. Deep beneath the building's reinforced concrete foundation, a dark past is about to break through and seep to the surface. At the end of the 19th century, Herman Webster Mudgett, better known as Dr. Holmes, kidnapped and killed an unknown amount of people at this very address. We welcome you to travel through the cracks of time and come face to face with the doctor and his murder castle. Escape from 63rd and Wallace is produced by Polar Night Studio, powered by Fabula, and presented by Poptail. A suspenseful horror story, inspired by true events, that contains sounds and descriptions of a graphic nature. Active listener discretion is advised. Escape from 63rd and Wallace offers two different modes. Story mode, containing a rich narrative and fewer challenges. And puzzle mode, containing less story with emphasis on puzzles. Keep in mind that you can change between the two modes at any time by simply saying story mode or puzzle mode. For more information, say tutorial. To hear this message again, say repeat. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, please choose either story mode or puzzle mode to continue.
Story mode. Settle back and enjoy a story.
Before we begin, remember that you can always say help if you feel stuck or not sure of what to do. Now, let's start the story. Entering chapter 1 in story mode. Let's begin.
You guys are going to see me reach up.
Escape from 63rd and Wallace. Chapter 1, The Arrival. Charlene, or Charlie, as she had insisted on being called from a young age, sat on the train, heading for Chicago. She came up with the nickname herself. Her mother's disapproval had been clear, but her sister Margaret had taken it to heart. In all the letters Margaret had penned to her sister, regaling her in descriptions of the White City, she had omitted one important detail. She never once mentioned the smell. Charlie would have remembered. She saved every letter, a few were even currently tucked into her pockets. Her sister had been away for over 6 months. The tone in her correspondence had shifted during that time, from promise and excitement, to hints of isolation and dread. The window next to Charlie was half open, and as the landscape rushed by, the charcoal fumes permeated her nostrils. She could no longer sit patiently, and felt that she should shut the window. Try saying, shut the window.
Shut the window.
Charlie pushed the window upwards. But in that moment, the train ticket she was holding was caught in a draft, and twirled out the window.
Oh no!
She hopelessly searched the passing landscape. The ticket her mother had purchased with the last of their savings was gone. Something caught her eye, distracting her from the tragedy of losing the ticket. A lifeless figure atop a hill, not far from the tracks. Hundreds, if not thousands of crows swarmed the broken silhouette, biting, clawing, and ripping bleeding flesh from its face and hands. The crow man was dressed in a top hat and black suit. From the distance, she could see dark, empty eye sockets underlined by a hollow grin. Charlie stared back in sheer horror, oblivious to the noise of the train, and the chatter of the passengers fading into total silence. Time itself slowed down, like a trickling tear of wax, hardening down the side of a candle. Ice crystals began to form in the corners of the window, and she could see her breath in the chilling air. The sweat on the back of her neck made her shiver. No longer able to fight the unforgiving cold, she hugged herself tight and struggled to maintain consciousness. Her eyelids became heavy, but she was determined not to succumb to sleep. She opened her eyes. Standing over her was the creature. Empty eye sockets dark with dried blood, staring down at her. The crow on his shoulder was ripping and pulling at his rotting flesh.
That's kind of icky.
And then, he spoke. Don't ring the bell. A sudden tap on her shoulder. She expected to see the creature crouching over her. Instead, a uniformed attendant in a blue suit with gold buttons stood at her side. He took a step back. Miss? Your ticket, please. With the ticket lost, Charlie considered whether she should attempt to blatantly lie and tell him that her ticket was in her stored bag at the other end of the car. That way, she could make her escape to the next wagon. Or attempt to charm the attendant into allowing her to remain on the train. Or simply tell him the truth and deal with the consequences.
Let's see.
She could tell the train attendant the truth, lie, or charm him?
Charm him.
She took a deep breath, forced herself to put on a twinkling smile, and looked up. Good day, sir. I am headed to Chicago's Union Station, which to my understanding is a meager 2 stops away. I'm afraid I do not possess a valid ticket. May I kindly ask for your permission to remain on the train? She turned her eyes up toward him pleadingly, attempting to garner his sympathy for her plight.
It's not gonna work.
Unaffected, he took a step towards Charlie. You are the second person to ask me for a free ride today. The Midwestern Railroad Company does not engage in philanthropy, nor does it allow freeloaders on board. I will see you off this train at the next stop. She was just about to speak when the man held up his hand. Before you say anything in protest, miss, know this. I am obliged to contact railway authorities, but it is Sunday, and it's my last shift for the next 3 days. You may stay on until Dearborn Station. Receiving a stern look from the attendant, Charlie's cheeks flushed with color, turning red and burning with heat. She looked down to hide her face. The attendant continued further down the aisle, inspecting tickets and chatting with the other passengers as if their conversation had never taken place. Charlie pondered on her situation while her upper body fought against the incessant rocking of the car. Her shoulders jolted with each blow of the whistle. She was close now. Close enough to find her sister. Tugging at the high lace collar of her starched blouse, Charlie struggled to maintain the ladylike composure she had been taught. Her gloved fingers traced the intricate metal flower of her brooch. It reminded her of home, where wildflowers were blooming in the fields. Her mother standing on the steps of their small
farmhouse,
ringing the brass bell for supper. As she looked out the smeared windows, it dawned on her that she had never been this far from home. Sighing in defeat, Charlie sat back down. Her mind returned to concerns about her sister. The tone in Margaret's recent correspondence had shifted, from promise and excitement, to hints of isolation and dread. And only Charlie could spot these invisible cries for help in the messages. Something was very wrong. Charlie considered reading her sister's most recent letter, in the hope to spot any further clues. She could read the letter, or put it away.
Read the letter.
She started to read the letter. Dearest Charlie, I hope this letter finds you in good health. These last 3 months have been quite rewarding, though exhausting. It seems that the sun never really sets on the White City. The moment the sky grows dark, street lights illuminate every corner. I am afforded the luxury of a daily constitutional and have become quite adept at finding my way downtown. The World's Columbian Expo opened 5 weeks ago and all manner of exotic people have traveled to see the fair. They often stay in the hotel for which I am employed. It is an immense structure and I swear that I discover new corridors each week. These nights, fireworks fill the sky, temporarily turning it blood red in their wake. It is a sight to behold. The good Dr. Holmes, my employer and proprietor of the World's Fair Hotel, has informed me that I shall now be quartered in the staff rooms on the first floor. The previous occupant of the bed suddenly left their position, which is not an unusual occurrence. I must admit that I shall miss having a window from which to gaze. The hour grows late and I must retire for the evening. My lamp oil is dwindling and I am afraid that soon my room will become black as pitch. I beg of you to respond with haste for I miss you so. Your loving sister, Margaret.
Okay.
Charlie looked over the letter again, and wondered if she should read one of the paragraphs, the whole letter, or put it away.
Put it away.
Charlie carefully folded the letter and slipped it back into the envelope. The previous view of endless fields peppered with the occasional buildings and farms had morphed to stern, silent architecture. Through the darkening afternoon, she could see buildings and inky water surrounding the White City. Suddenly, the train attendant reappeared, and with him, the slowing down of the train. Miss? We have arrived at Dearborn Station. I need you to collect your belongings and depart this train. Oh. Yes, right. Thank you, sir, Charlie said in defeat. She grabbed her purse and stood up. Her worn travel bag was tucked away at the other end of the passenger car. As she started walking, he gently grabbed her arm. Stay safe, miss. Chicago can be a rough city for a young lady. She freed her arm gently and walked towards the luggage compartment. Once there, Charlie started to search for her bag among the large selection of bags and boxes. There were 9 compartments in total, in a 3x3 grid. The compartments were labeled with numbers 1 through 9. There was a sign on the wall, with the text, Baggage Reference Card, written in large letters. There was no time to lose. She needed to locate her bag, tagged for Chicago, among the 9 compartments. Charlie could inspect a compartment to find her bag. To choose a compartment to inspect, say the compartment number. For example, saying number 1 would refer to the top left compartment.
Oh.
Remember that you can always say help.
Oh, this,
if you feel stuck
this
or
changed
lost.
A little bit.
Inspect a compartment number or check the sign on the wall.
Number 5.
Charlie pulled open compartment number 5. She saw luggage heading to Elkhart, El Paso, Emmington. No, this was not the right luggage compartment. She might be able to find her bag if she referred
to
the
illustration on the sign. So this is cool because it used to be you had to give the directions.
She stood back and observed the compartments once more. 3 rows of 3. Charlie could inspect a compartment or check the sign on the wall.
Number 7.
Columbus, Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Chicago. She found her bag. Worn and scratched, kept together with tar string. Unmistakably hers. Charlie attempted to pull it out, only to find it was stuck beneath the weight of the other bags. Suddenly the whistle echoed throughout the station. In just a moment, the train would depart, with Charlie on it. This was it. She had to make a decision. She could attempt to yank her bag free and leave the train, as was expected of her. Or, she could stay on board and hope that the attendant would allow her to remain for one more stop. She could yank her bag and depart the train, or stay on board.
Stay on board? It's not going to work. Watch.
Charlie could yank the bag, or stay on board.
Stay on board. I'm a monster.
The steam whistle announced its departure and Charlie sensed a subtle shake of the train. You are still here, miss? The train attendant had caught her in the act once again. He continued. Unless miss departs the train this very moment, I will be forced to notify the Chicago Police Department. The attendant pulled the bag free and pointed at the train door.
Oh,
she stepped down onto the platform as the train slowly commenced the final leg of its journey, dropping her bag at her side and looking around to find her bearings. Suddenly, she felt short of breath. She put one hand on her chest to steady herself. Her head was swimming, and her vision became blurry. Charlie sank down to the ground. Her arms dropped to her sides as she collapsed on the concrete platform, and all went dark. Charlie had no idea how long she had been out. The platform was eerily silent. The sun had been replaced with a full moon, partly covered by thick, rapidly rolling clouds. The smell of rain was in the cool night air. Still coming to terms with her blackout, Charlie desperately looked around to find someone, anyone, who could help her. With what, she was not sure. There was no one in sight, only cold stone and empty walkways. She took a deep breath and walked over to a large rusted sign which indicated that she was standing on Platform 6. It stated that to exit Dearborn Station, she would have to reach the arrivals hall. I can figure this out, she muttered. But when she saw the main station building, she gasped. In the darkening night, her tired eyes were barely able to make sense of the maze-like landscape that surrounded her. A seemingly endless amount of train tracks, buildings, bridges, massive stairways, tunnels and overpasses connected the 8 platforms, some in ways that defied logic. Balconies and overhangs ended in thin air, or connected in impossible ways. She shook her head and looked down. To her surprise, she noted that she was clutching her sister's most recent letter. Something told her that it was safe here, on Platform 6, and she could return at any time if she got lost.
Okay.
From her current position, she could see the access to Platforms 7, 3, and 2. She could proceed to platform 7, 3 or 2. Or read her sister's letter.
7.
She stepped onto platform 7. As the air was getting cold, Charlie had a gut feeling that she was on the wrong platform. Perhaps a closer look at her sister's letter could give her a better clue. A chill ran down Charlie's spine. Unable to shake the feeling that someone was watching her, she stopped to scan the platform with her eyes, breathing quietly so she could listen. Every corner was dark and still. She shook off the feeling and decided to continue looking for the arrivals hall. Moments later, she thought she could hear soft footsteps behind her, and spun to look but could not see anything but the austere structures of the empty station. Uncertain if her mind was playing tricks on her, she resolved to walk a little bit faster, just in case. Looking around, she could see the access to platforms 6, 3, and 2. She wondered where to go next.
3.
Charlie reached platform 3. Looking around, she could see the access to platforms 6, 5, and 7. And wondered where to go next.
5?
As Charlie walked towards platform 5, the air got warmer. She had a gut feeling of getting closer to the arrivals hall. She heard the footsteps again. This time louder.
Uh-oh.
Panic set in. She had to quickly find the arrivals hall. Charlie could go back to platform 6 to avoid the follower and start over. Looking around, she could see the access to platforms 4, 3, and 1.
Ooh.
And wondered where to go next.
1.
As she got close to platform 1, she finally found the arrivals hall.
Yay!
She considered whether to return to platform 5 or enter the arrivals hall at Dearborn Station.
Enter the arrivals hall. I don't know why you would do anything else.
The rain came. At the same time, a flock of crows took flight from the nearby trees. When Charlie entered the station building, she expected crowds of busy travelers. But when she stepped through the large wooden doors, the silence was deafening. There was not a single soul in sight. No smiling station attendants, no merchants, no flower girls or yelling paperboys. Just the broken remains of the past, what was supposed to be a sanctuary of heartfelt reunions and goodbyes, was instead a derelict, rotting cathedral, of broken windows, doors ripped from their frames, and walls consumed by mold and rot. Tables lay cast onto their backs, with their legs pointing toward the sky, like slaughtered cattle. Rusted station signs peppered the scene. Not a cathedral. It was a crypt. A thick layer of dust and debris covered the large space. She looked up. Rain poured down through the broken windows and the ceiling far above her. Faded pillars of moonlight dimly lit the floor. As if imprisoned, moths floated within the beams of light. Suddenly, the doors behind her slammed shut. She looked towards the arrivals hall and saw the familiar rows of wooden benches where one would expect cries from restless children and their anxious parents. Instead, the benches were covered with tattered old tarps. Charlie froze in her step. The crow man was waiting for her. The deformed body was slumped on one of the wooden benches. A black bird flapped its wings impatiently, a strip of gray flesh hanging from its sharp beak.
Ew.
Without turning toward her, the crow man raised his arm and held up a piece of paper. She inched closer and saw her train ticket. And then, the creature spoke once more. I told you to stay away. You have successfully completed Chapter 1, The Arrival. You can now hear Charlene Weatherford's character profile based on how you played. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
Here is the character profile of your own version of Charlene Weatherford, based on your decisions in Chapter 1. In your story version of Escape from 63rd and Wallace, she is prepared to manipulate people to get her way, and does not stop trying to bend their will until they grow tired of her.
Yeah.
One would assume that because of Charlie's manipulative nature, that she would have great attention to details. But unfortunately, that is not the case. Looking closer at Charlene's relationship with her sister, it is clear that it's very close and sisterly, which does not come as a surprise considering they are siblings. Charlene reads all correspondence that is sent to her from Margaret. Lastly, it is promising to see Charlene's excellent ability to adapt to new situations and scenery. A skill she would be wise to continue to hone on her journey to the World's Fair Hotel on 63rd Street and Wallace Avenue.
Okay.
All your choices in Chapter 1 will get carried over to other chapters. Would you like to continue with Chapter 2 now?
Yes.
Entering Chapter 2.
I think we're going to go part of the way through Chapter 2. I don't think we're going to completely finish it. So we're going to do a couple choices.
The doctor's appointment.
I don't know if I want to spoil it for you guys.
Charlene Weatherford was told to depart the train at Dearborn Station.
Yep.
Once there, she encountered the mysterious Crow Man.
It's time to wake up.
What's back in?
A perfect circle of wide eyes stared down at Charlie. Her eyes shot open. She found herself sprawled out on a white marble floor. Her pounding headache was temporarily forgotten, as she noticed the crowd that had gathered with raised questions of concern and curiosity. Charlie could stand up, or stay.
Stand up.
She hastily stood up, her wobbly feet threatening her balance. She refused to look at anyone in the curious crowd and focused on her dress instead. Her mind worked frantically as she first brushed off the dirt, and then straightened the dress out. When she had gained her composure, she cleared her throat, and addressed the people still standing around her. Thank you kindly, but I feel fine now. She forced a smile and continued. I'm just fatigued from the strenuous train ride is all. The crowd started to disperse. Some undoubtedly disappointed, having expected more of a spectacle, while others genuinely worried, were satisfied with her statement. Charlie took one last deep breath before grabbing her travel bag and headed towards the carriage pickup area, outside the train station. She suddenly stopped as she approached the entrance, the hairs on her arms stood up and a chill rushed through her spine. She took a quick look around, and locked eyes with a small man in a red fez and an oversized dark jacket. His intense, near-hypnotic stare, and nervous smile under a thin mustache, made her headache known again. That's when she saw the name on the blackboard he was holding. C. Weatherford. Perplexed by the notion of a stranger knowing her name, and her search for her sister in this very city, her instincts told her there was a connection. She could investigate who this man was, or avoid him and go straight to her sister.
Avoid him.
Charlie started walking towards the train station exit. She could feel the man's eyes at the back of her neck. The coachman she had hired whipped the horses to life, and they rushed through back alleys and streets, while the people of Chicago celebrated under a firework-lit sky. Despite the shabby interior and unrelenting vibrations from the carriage's ironclad wooden wheels, Charlie tried to make herself comfortable. The leather seat, sunken to the point that Charlie felt she was mere inches from the ground, was worn with several failed attempts to mend its holes and rips, and the pungent smell of burnt tobacco clung to every piece of fabric. Suddenly the carriage shook violently and Charlie's handbag sprung up in the air.
Uh-oh.
Its content of poured out and down onto the pitch-black floor space. While picking up her bag, she could see a small shiny object on the floor that she hadn't noticed before. She could pick up the shiny object, search for her items, or look outside, and enjoy the spectacle of the World's Fair.
pick up the shiny object.
Congratulations. You found a historical document. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
While The Escape from 63rd and Wallace is a fictional story, many aspects of it are based on actual events. The story takes place in 1893, and our protagonist, Charlene Weatherford, is traveling to her sister in Chicago. During this time, the bicycle had become very popular and played a large part in women's fight for their rights. Here is information from an article named How the Bicycle Paved the Way for Women's Rights. From The Atlantic, written by Adrienne LaFrance. By the 1890s, America was obsessed with the bicycle. The craze was meaningful, and it gave women a new level of transportation independence. The bicycle, as a new technology of its time, had become an enormous cultural and political force, and an emblem of women's rights. Bicycle riding required a shift away from the restrictive, modest fashion of the Victorian age. Replacing the laced-up, ruffled-down fashion with a new era of exposed ankles, or at least visible bloomers, which became a fascination to the mostly male newspaper reporters of the time. Would you like to hear it again?
No.
Now back to your story. Charlie could search for her items that fell out of her bag, or look outside and enjoy the spectacle of the World's Fair.
Look outside.
People from all walks of life populated the busy streets. Restaurants, cabarets, saloons, and ice cream parlors were lit up by electric lights, and at one moment, her cab was bypassed by a noisy velocipede, a strange-looking self-running carriage she had read about in the paper.
Huh.
The rain had returned with great force as the cab came to a halt, and the coachman, soaked by the downpour, opened the window. Miss, we have arrived at your destination. She paid him, and stepped down and into the rain. As her boots landed in the muddy street, she looked up into the onslaught of night to find her bearings.
Okay.
The coachman hastily handed the bag to her and disappeared into the dim street light. There it was. The hotel's brutal construction was unmistakable. A large, dark monolith. It rested flat and tall, its size dwarfed nearby houses and consumed the view of the entire street block, like a slumbering giant. A large sign displaying World's Fair Hotel over a double door entrance swayed in the cascading wind. The only light coming from the hotel shimmered vaguely from the hotel's lit up entrance and lobby on the ground floor. Charlie walked up to the main doors. The white pillars to each of her sides supported an awning that protected her from the rain, but the wind caused the panels above her to flap in frenzy, urging her out of the storm. The very moment she was about to open the doors, a gas light lit up on the building's corner to her left, and suddenly another one, just around the corner, leading towards the back of the building. A third one lit up the alley. The lights mesmerized her, urging her to follow. Not sure what to do, Charlie pondered whether to open the door and enter the hotel lobby, or follow the gas lights.
Quit. So, that is Escape 63rd. I do not want to spoil the end of the second chapter for you. If you'd like to know what happens, I would suggest making a little purchase and playing for yourself. Chapter 1 is free. Chapter 2 through 4 are premium purchases. Now is a really good time to get the game. It is half off for the release, and I would highly recommend it. It only gets better from here, so if you find it interesting, make that purchase and do that thing. So I do want to thank you guys for being here. Again, I don't want to go too much further in. I don't want to spoil the surprise. But I think there is more great stuff coming up. In fact, I know it. So check it out for yourself. I don't want to ruin it. I will see you guys next week with another great game. We will be playing another fun game. I haven't picked out which one yet. Don't forget that I will be on vacation, but I will try to record some pre-recorded episodes of Poptail Weekly for you. No guarantees, no promises, but I will do what I can. Again, the Sparkies are here. They are upon us. Visit voicespark.live and vote for your favorite skills. There are 20 possible skills and actions. Vote for your five favorites. The top three win a fabulous trophy. And we will announce the winners on November 18th. And I will be there for that. And also, don't forget, we are on social media, Poptail Social on Twitter. We are Poptail on Facebook, P-O-P-T-A-L-E. And you can visit us at poptail.com. So I will see you all next week. I want to thank you guys for being here. It's been a blast. Happy Halloween if you celebrate. And I will see you all next week. Also, a special early birthday to Liam's mom, who has a birthday after Halloween. So happy birthday, Mom. And I will see you all back here next Wednesday. Good night and goodbye. See you all then.